Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. The subject of today's readings is freedom and justice for all. Now let's begin this Wednesday gathering with singing hymn number 83. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. And again, the topic of today's healing message is freedom and justice for all. The second and third hymns will be 136 and 218. I shall be reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message version of the Bible, and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Acts. Paul tells his story. Standing on the barracks steps, Paul turned and held his arms up. A hush fell over the crowd as Paul began to speak. He spoke in Hebrew. My dear brothers and fathers, listen carefully to what I have to say before you jump to conclusions about me. When they heard him speaking Hebrew, they grew even quieter. No one wanted to miss a word of this. I went after anyone connected with this way, went at them hammer and tongs, ready to kill for God. I rounded up men and women right and left and had them thrown in prison. You can ask the chief priest or anyone in the high council to verify this. They all knew me well. Then I went off to our brothers in Damascus, armed with official documents authorizing me to hunt down the Christians there, arrest them, and bring them back to Jerusalem for sentencing. As I arrived on the outskirts of Damascus about noon, a blinding light blazed out of the skies, and I fell to the ground, dazed. I heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? Who are you, Master? I asked. He said, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, the one you're hunting down. My companions saw the light, but they didn't hear the conversation. Then I said, What do I do now, Master? He said, Get to your feet and enter Damascus. There you'll be told everything that's been set out for you to do. And so we entered Damascus, but nothing like the entrance I had planned. I was blind as a bat, and my companions had to lead me in by the hand. And that's when I met Ananias, a man with a sterling reputation in observing our laws. The Jewish community in Damascus is unanimous on that score. He came and put his arm on my shoulder. Look up, he said. I looked and found myself looking right into his eyes. I could see again. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has handpicked you to be briefed on his plan of action. You've actually seen the righteous innocent and heard him speak. You are to be a key witness to everyone you meet of what you've seen and heard. So what are you waiting for? Get up and get yourself baptized, scrubbed clean of those sins, and personally acquainted with God. Well, it happened just as Ananias said. After I was back in Jerusalem and praying one day in the temple, lost in the presence of God, I saw him, saw God's righteous innocent, and heard him say to me, "Hurry up, get out of here as quickly as you can. None of the Jews here in Jerusalem are going to accept what you say about me. I'm sending you on a long journey to outsider Gentiles, a Roman citizen." The people in the crowd had listened attentively up to this point, but now they broke loose, shouting out, "Kill him! He's an insect! Stomp on him!" They shook their fists. They filled the air with curses. That's when the captain intervened and ordered Paul taken into the barracks. By now, the captain was thoroughly exasperated. He decided to interrogate Paul under torture in order to get to the bottom of this, to find out what he had done that provoked this outraged violence. As they spread-eagled him with thongs, getting him ready for the whip, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is this legal? Torturing a Roman citizen without a fair trial?" When the centurion heard that, he went directly to the captain. "Do you realize what you've done? This man is a Roman citizen." The captain came back and took charge. "Is what I hear right? You're a Roman citizen?" Paul said, "I certainly am." The captain was impressed. "I paid a huge sum for my citizenship. How much did it cost you?" "Nothing," said Paul. "It cost me nothing. I was free from the day of my birth." That put a stop to the interrogation. Romans, what is true freedom? So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want, since we're free in the freedom of God? Can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness? God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Lord. If the Son sets you free, you are free through and through. And from Science and Health, Paul said, "I was free born. All men should be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The history of our country, like all history, illustrates the might of mind and shows human power to be proportionate to its embodiment of right thinking. A few immortal sentences breathing the omnipotence of divine justice have been potent to break despotic fetters and abolish the whipping post and slave market. But oppression neither went down in blood, nor did the breath of freedom come from the cannon's mouth. Love is the liberator. Legally, to abolish unpaid servitude in the United States was hard, but the abolition of mental slavery is a more difficult task. The despotic tendencies inherent in mortal mind and always germinating in new forms of tyranny must be rooted out through the action of the divine mind. Men and women of all climes and races are still in bondage to material sense, ignorant how to obtain their freedom. The rights of man were vindicated in a single section and on the lowest plane of human life when African slavery was abolished in our land. That was only prophetic of further steps towards the banishment of a worldwide slavery found on higher planes of existence and under more subtle and depraving forms. The lame, the deaf, the dumb, the blind, the sick, the sensual, the sinner, I wish to save from the slavery of their own beliefs and from the educational systems of the pharaohs, who today, as of yore, hold the children of Israel in bondage. The law of the divine mind must end human bondage, or mortals will continue unaware of man's inalienable rights and in subjection to hopeless slavery, because some public teachers permit an ignorance of divine power, an ignorance that is the foundation of continued bondage and of human suffering. Discerning the rights of man, we cannot fail to foresee the doom of all oppression. Slavery is not the legitimate state of man. God made man free. Christian Science raises the standard of liberty and cries, "Follow me. Escape from the bondage of sickness, sin, and death." Jesus marked out the way. Citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free. This is your divine right. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.
God shed his grace.